at a place called Wairur. Sorry. Tiruvalla Medical Mission has a history. So I'm going to tell you a few details about Tiruvalla Medical Mission so that you can keep Tiruvalla Medical Mission in your prayer in the days to come. We need much of your prayer support. Because why Tiruvalla Medical Mission? You know, Tiruvalla Medical Mission stands as a testimony of God's witness for the past 88 years. That means, as Brother George B. John said, 88 years ago, this hospital was established. And that is the, you know, Tiruvalla Medical Mission is one of the hospitals that is exclusively established for mission in Kerala. It supports evangelists and evangelism. So I'll be sharing much details about that in the coming slides. And it is offering community services, you know, to the communities around Tiruvalla. So it generates a lot of goodwill from the people around Tiruvalla. And we can proudly say that it is a prestigious institution managed by so-called brethren from Kerala. It is not of any brethren assembly, but the board members are all fellowshipping with various brethren assemblies in and around Tiruvalla. In 1935, a doctor called Dr. Diwan Bahadur B. Varghese, you know, he was a royal physician of the erstwhile Travancore state, Maharaja, we used to call it. He was his personal physician. In 1935, he retired from his royal service, so he came back to Tiruvalla. He had about 6 acres of land in Tiruvalla town. He wanted to do something for his people, you know, his village people, those who are poor people who are located in and around Tiruvalla. So he decided to establish, because he was a doctor, he decided to establish a dispensary, you know, a mini clinic with 6 benches that were used as a bed. But soon he had realized that, you know, things were not easy for him to carry on with the hospital, with the dispensary, because it needed much effort. And since he was old, he was not able to carry. So he started praying for people, you know, who have a burden for mission and also the people around Tiruvalla. So God brought him one of the missionary families, doctor families from UK. His name is Dr. Churchward, R.S. Churchward and Mrs. Churchward, both of them were doctors. So 1940, they started the Tiruvalla Medical Mission, which is now known as Tiruvalla TMM Hospital. So it was established by Dr. Diwan Bahadur B. Varghese, and then took over by the missionary families. So this is a brief chronology of Tiruvalla Medical Mission. 1935, it started as a 6-bed hospital. 1940, Dr. Churchward and his wife took over as doctors. 1943, the first nursing school in the private sector in the erstwhile state of Travancore. You know, we received independence from Britain in 1947. But 4 years before, 1943, our nursing school was established. I don't know whether any nursing alumni is sitting here, our nursing alumni. Then in 1944, we have a branch hospital established in TMM Wairur. About 25 kilometers, 30 kilometers from the town of Kottayam, Wairur. And again in 1947, another hospital, Mannamaruthi near Rani was established. Then in 2004, we started TMM College of Nursing. So now, TMM College of Nursing and TMM School of Nursing, they are merged into one entity. So in 1940, when Dr. Chatchuet took over, this was the condition of the hospital. In 1965, it was like this, and 2010, it was like this, 2017. Then in on 17 December 2022, we inaugurated, we dedicated a new hospital, about 300 bed hospital, modern hospital, was dedicated by our evangelist John Kurian, brother of Alexander Kurian. So this is the emergency and trauma care center of the hospital with all modern facilities. And then we needed an oxygen plant. So we requested the GMI here. The GMI was pleased to provide us an oxygen plant. And Brother George P. John, as chairman of GMI, he came and he dedicated the site where the oxygen plant was to be set up. So this is a part of the oxygen plan we have set up with the fund received from GMI and other brethren from United States. So we have all departments in the hospital, almost all the departments. Spiritual activities, you know, we give importance to the spiritual activities. We have a prayer wall, which is placed at the near the chapel in the new building, where a prayer wall is there. You know, people come in and go out. They put up stickers there with their prayer requests. So people go there, spend time praying those prayer requests. So many people are coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord because of the spiritual activities there. So all these are some of the activities which are being conducted there. And in the year 2015, you know, we crossed a milestone. Kerala Medical Mission had 300,000 births since its establishment in 1935. And then a lot of community services are done in and around Tiruvalla, as I said before. Narcotics and drug awareness program in schools. And then women cancer awareness seminars. Many women who are diagnosed with cancer are being treated and helped with their problems. And community services, you know, this is one of the focus areas of TMM now. Our doctors, you know, committed doctors, they go into the villages, they gather women and in order to empower them. So primary purpose is to share the gospel with them. Our nurses, they go and perform outreach initiatives. And recently, we started a community service in a place called Cheap. It's a very poor community, about 5 kilometers from the town of Tiruvalla. There, we have started a clinic, and we are offering free medical services to the village people, which has created a lot of goodwill towards Tiruvalla Medical Mission. And then I told you, 1944, a branch hospital was created in Walur. 1944, that was the condition. 1950, we renovated it. And then we have plans to build a 100-bed hospital. The structure RCC work has already been completed. God willing, in 2025, we will have this inaugurated. A 5-story building, 100-bed hospital in Wairo. A new medical superintendent has taken over in the month of April. Since then, all the services have got a boost. Dr. Charlie Abraham, one of our committed brothers, is an orthopedics. He was working with a very famous hospital. He resigned the job. He came to Wairo as a commitment to our community services. And one of the other focus areas was geriatric care, that is the senior care. Some 20 years ago, we started in a very humble way, renovating our old buildings. And at the moment, we have about 15 guests, old, our parents. They are living there and we are taking care of them. And some of the children of those parents, they are in the US. They regularly come there and support the ministry there. It's a very effective ministry. You know, realizing the importance of having geriatric senior care centers, we are planning to build cottage type structures for the for our older generation, two types, assisted people and independent living. So these are some of the drawings that we have got prepared. And we have sufficient land area available to accommodate this new construction. And then in 1947, we have got another branch hospital in Mannamaradi. So last year, we inaugurated a new block there. And that block was built with the financial support received from Gospel Missions of India and other USA brothers. And we are grateful to Brother George B. John for having taken all the trouble in sourcing these funds to us. He's a great supporter of PMM. And we are planning a new hospital block in Mannamaradi. God willing, we are planning to start construction in the year 2025. I told you this was TMM School of Nursing, was the first nursing institution in the private sector in the state of Kerala, was not there, in the state of Travancore in 1943. So initially we had missionary tutors, and hence the quality of nursing education was the best. In 2016, you know, TMM alumni, they are scattered all over the world. Even Dallas and surrounding areas, you know. This is a picture. There was a union of the alumni took place in the year 2016. So these many alumni, they gathered. So you can imagine how many alumni are there who are scattered all over the world. This is the picture of an alumnus from the first generation. I think you all might know LC Andy. And the third generation, that is Grace, who is from Dallas. This is a picture of the nursing college. So we are taking 60 students for BSc education every year. And MSc, we have 10 students we are taking. This is also one of the prestigious institutions where the children are seeking admission. So this is the, these are the office bearers, current office bearers. I request on behalf of TMM your prayer. Please remember this ministry in your prayers, because you know there are tremendous potential for evangelism in Rivella Medical Mission and the branch hospital as well as in the schools. So if you pray, I'm sure that many souls will be saved here. Thank you very much. Yes. You are one? Praise God. See. Oh, very good. Thank you. I'm so glad. Okay. You were born in Vadur Hospital. Oh, you worked there. Okay. You worked there. All right. Okay, 20 minutes. Okay, fine. Okay, during the next 15 to 20 minutes, I would like to share with you on a very important topic, which is as important to me as important to you. Effective communication for evangelism. Evangelism is a very important topic. I'm sure that you know. I heard the activities of your assembly during the year, that you go juvenile homes, you do evangelize, but everyone should have a part in evangelism. So for that, we need to be effective communicators. So I'm going to share with you some of my insights about how to be an effective communicator. So for that purpose, I'm going to take an incident, a story from Gospel according to John chapter 4, our Savior's encounter with the Samaritan woman, you know, how he communicated with that lady. But in the end, the result was that not only she, but all her people, they came to a saving knowledge of the Lord. So how he communicated, we are going to look at it and analyzing it from the point of view of the communication principles. So what is communication? And the communication is an interactive process of transferring data. We all know the principles of communication. We may not know the name of the principle, but we all communicate. We are all effective communicators, no doubt about it. But we should know the principle and the process of communication so that we can be more effective in our communication, not only communication of the gospel, but our, for the improvement of our interrelation and for our relationship also, we can make use of it. So communication is an interactive process of transferring data, or it's an interactive process of sharing ideas, thoughts, feelings, needs, whatever you may call it, that is communication. And what is the purpose of this communication? We are communicating for others to understand our viewpoint, whether others will accept it or not. Our purpose is to make them understand our viewpoint. Why we are communicating? Because communicating is the essence of our life. Without communication, you can't think of a life. And avoiding chaos. You know what was the kind of chaos that took place at the Tower of Babel. So that should not happen. So if we know the principles of communication, we can be effective communicants. And why, for us who are Christians, why communication is so important? Because we need to be effective in our sharing of the gospel. You know, evangelism is not for just for evangelists. God wants us, he has commanded all his people to be sharing, witnessing. Well, everyone may not be in a position to preach, teach, but everyone can share their life in order to bring people to the saving knowledge of the Lord. We need to persuade people to commit their lives to the Lord. That is the purpose of effective evangelism. Well, this is the definition of communication. It is very complicated, and I don't think I will be able to explain this during the time that is given to me. But I have prepared a small handout, I think, which if brother allows, it can be circulated in your WhatsApp group so that you will be able to understand it better. So three things we need to understand for effective for knowing effective communication. So there are elements, we need to understand the elements. I will explain to you. I have prepared a model. So from the model, you will be able to understand it very easily. Now, just read these names, that's all. There is a sender, receiver, context, and a message, a channel or a media, then encode, decode, barrier or noise, and feedback. So these are the elements involved in a communication model or communication process. And there are four channels that we use in order to communicate. The first one is verbal. You know, we use voice, word of mouth. Then non-verbal. How we use our body in order to communicate. Perhaps non-verbal communication is more than the verbal communication that we make. The written communication, we are all aware of it. And the last one is visual communication. You know, you are seeing these slides. This is a visual method of communication. So there are elements, sender, receiver, context, message, channel, media, encode, decode, barrier or noise, and feedback. And there are four channels, verbal, non-verbal, written, and visual. Now we are going to see the model in order to understand the communication process. We have no time to read the story from John Gospel chapter 4. I'm sure that everyone knows about it. I'm not going to read it. So there are two elements. The first element, sender, the person who communicates, and the receiver who receives the communication. So these are the primary elements in a communication process. Sender and a receiver. Then sender, he has a reason to communicate. He has a context. And then he has a message to communicate. Then he uses channels to communicate. We will come back to that in a moment. And encode it. That means, encode means the communication, the content should fit into the channel that we use. That is what we are doing by encoding it. then there are barriers. We need to overcome barriers, remove barriers. Then the receiver, you know, she has to interpret it so that she could understand. The words, the terminology is very difficult, but you will be able to understand once you see this model. Decode it, that means interpret the meaning of it. And then she has to give a feedback. The same way she uses a channel, she encodes it, and then she removes barriers. And the original sender, he decodes it. So he gets the feedback that his original message was received effectively. So this is the process of communication. By looking at it, it is very difficult, but it is very easy. We will take the case of Lord Jesus. You know, Lord Jesus Christ, he was on his way to Galilee. And then we read that he had to pass through a city called Sychar, because his time on this earth was very short, only 3 years. And during these 3 years, he had to do a lot of job. So he knew that there was a lady and her people are waiting. So usually the Jews, they won't take this route. They will take the longer route in order to avoid the Samaritans. But Jesus, he had to take this route. And the result was that a Samaritan lady and the entire population of the town, they came to the saving of the Lord. Okay, Jesus is the sender, is the communicator, and the Samaritan woman is the recipient of the communication. Okay, so it's a sender. Why does he communicate? Because he has a context. He has a purpose to make this communication. What was that purpose? It was that woman. There is a woman in need. And there are a number of people in her town who needs Jesus Christ. So the context of every communication is a purpose. So there should be a purpose for every communication. For Jesus, the purpose was the woman and the Samaritan people. And he has a message, a content to communicate. What was the content? The content was the gospel. The gospel. So there is a sender, a context, purpose, and the message. That is the subject, the content to be communicated. So he has to use a channel in order to communicate. The channel is a medium. So multiple channels we have to use in order to communicate our message effectively. For instance, Jesus Christ, you know, he has started with non-verbal communication. And then he moved to verbal, then he moved to visual. So what is non-verbal? Okay, we'll start with verbal. He had to encode his message of the gospel into the channel which he has selected in order to communicate. For instance, verbal means his channel was, he had to encode it into a conversation style. Conversation style. So verbal is the channel, and he had to encode it into a conversation style. When someone comes here to preach, his message has to be encoded into a preaching style. If someone comes up here to teach, he has to encode his message into a teaching style. Is there any difference between preaching and teaching? Of course. Preaching and teaching. Preaching, evangelists are supposed to preach. And teachers are supposed to teach. What is the difference? The you know, we have our mind. We saw in our Bible study, we have our mind, we have our heart. Mind is the seat of our intellect. And heart is the seat of our emotion. So a preacher is supposed to hit the emotion part of a person. And a teacher is supposed to hit the intellectual part of a person. Teacher has to hit the mind. The preacher has to hit the heart. Heart is, you know, synonymous with our emotion. And mind is synonymous with our intellect. So if a teacher comes here to teach, he has to encode his message in such a way as to hit the listener's heart. Preacher, heart, and teacher, mind. Okay, so Jesus Christ, he used several channels. So before he began to communicate, he converted it into, he encoded it into various segments. So conversation style Jesus used first. You know, he started looking for, he was very thirsty and weary. He was sitting near a well, and a lady came in order to draw water. Jesus initiated the talking. Jesus said, okay, give me a drink. So conversation style communication he has started. The lady and Jesus, you know, they were, both of them were in two islands. So there is no bridge. There is no supposed bridge in order to connect them. So Jesus has created a bridge there. So what was the bridge there? For him to start the talking, water. Water was the common ground that connected Jesus and the lady, the Samaritan lady. So from there, he kept on his communication. So conversation style used. Then F2F is face-to-face communication, face-to-face. And then he used his body in order to communicate, you know, his appearance. He was sitting there as a gentleman, non-offensive, non-threatening, because a lady was coming alone in order to draw water. So he used his body to communicate very effectively so that that lady understood that he is not dangerous. He can be approached. He's a gentleman. And then from his dressing, she knew that he was a Jew, a rabbi. So body Jesus used in order to communicate. And then expressions, you know, expressions, facial expressions he used to communicate with her. And gestures, you know, use his hands. He must have used his hands in order to communicate effectively. We also use our hands, no? In order to communicate effectively. Then postures, the way we stand, the way we, you know, bend over, we stand, we stretch. The postures that can be used for effective communication. And the tone, the inflection of my voice, it can be used in order to communicate effectively. So verbal communication, non-verbal communication, that I use my body in order to communicate, perhaps more than verbal, we can use our body in order to communicate. And then visual communication, images, you know, a picture speaks more than 1,000 words. We all know about that. If you show a picture, you know, that can communicate more powerfully and strongly than 1,000 words. So visual communication is very effective. Why we are using these slides? So this is visual. This is visual. And props, we can use it. Props is, you know, material, ending materials. I can show. So Jesus has used water as a prop in order to communicate. Okay. So channel, there are three channels Jesus used. Verbal channel, conversation, talk, and then his body, non-verbal communication, he used like his body expressions, facial expressions, gestures, posture, and then images, visual, he used to communicate. And then there were barriers. You know, we have to remove the barriers which exist between the communicant and the recipient, the sender and the recipient. What are these barriers? For instance, Jesus, a number of barriers were there. Gender barrier. He was a male and the lady was a, and Samaritan was, the Samaritan woman was a female. There's a gender barrier, and a racial barrier, a Jew and a Samaritan. Because there was no contact, no communication between, no, nothing to do with a Jew with the Samaritans. So racial barrier was there. Social barrier. Woman, you know, when a woman walks outside alone, that is, a man will not go and talk to her. That was a social barrier. The cultural barrier, the culture of Jews and the culture of Samaritans were different. The barrier was there. Religious barrier. She was worshipping in Mount Gerizim. And Jesus was the worshipper of one God. So there was that barrier. Then moral barrier was there. Jesus was a holy rabbi. But this woman was a prostitute. But Jesus, he removed all these barriers while communicating with this woman. Because if you don't remove these barriers, the message will not go to the recipient. Okay? Then this woman understood the communication received from Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did he do? He used a channel appropriate. And then he encoded the message appropriate to the channel. Then he removed all the barriers. So the message came freely to the woman. So she interpreted it. She decoded it. That is, she interpreted it. So she understood the message. Now how did Jesus know that she accepted or she was responding to the communication of Jesus? By the feedback the recipient gives out to the sender. So what kind of feedback she gave? She also had to choose the channel for giving the feedback. She used the verbal channel. She she spoke conversation, and also she used non-verbal channel. She used the visual channel. She spoke about Mount Gerizim, Mount Sinai. So they're all visual channels. And then she had to encode it. She had to encode the message into the channel which she has selected in order to respond. You know, face to face, body, she nodded. You know, when Jesus was communicating, how did she respond to Jesus? By nodding, by saying yes, good. So from this, the sender understand how effective his communication is with the recipient. So she also had to remove a lot of barriers because she was a woman and Jesus was a man. So that barrier had to be removed. So she removed all the barriers and communicated. Jesus interpreted it, decoded it, and the message came back to him, yes. His communication was received by the Samaritan woman in toto. Now, how do you know that one communication, a certain communication is effective or not? Intended communication sent out by the sender is equal to perceived communication by the receiver. If both are same, then we can understand that the communication is effective. I'll tell you once again, the sender sends the communication, that is the intended communication, intended message is equal to perceived message by the recipient. If both these are same, then we can say that the communication was effective. Okay, let me just wind up by saying this once again. So to make your communication effective, you should understand the process of communication. So there is a sender, there are elements, a sender and a recipient. And the sender has a context, a purpose in order to communicate. And that purpose in Jesus' case was a woman in need. And then he has a message. Everyone has a message to communicate to, a purpose and a message, that is the gospel. So he chose a channel in order to communicate. He used three channels, verbal, non-verbal, and visual. Verbal is word of mouth, and non-verbal is using his body, and visual is images and slides like that. Then he encoded its message appropriate to the channel. And then he removed barriers. It's very important. You know, unless you remove barriers, your message, whatever you speak, it will not hit the intended recipient. You remove the barriers. And the recipient, she had to interpret it, decode it. Then she has to give a feedback. For that also, she has to use the same channels, same channel, decode it, encode it. Then the barriers she has to remove. Then the recipient, the final recipient, the original sender, he has to recode it, decode it. He has to understand that his communication is simple. This is the process of communication that took place in the case of Lord Jesus Christ's encounter with the Samaritan woman. So I just gave you something. I request you to Google it, search it, study it, so that you can be effective communicators of the gospel in the days to come. All right? Thank you very much, very much. Okay? The elements are very important. The channels are very important. The process is very important. So please understand it. There is a handout which will be circulated to you shortly. So please read that and try to develop. This is only a very little thing I was able to share. Thank you very much for the opportunity given to me. Let's close. Father, we thank you for the time that you have granted to us today to come together as an assembly to worship you and to meditate on what you have done in our lives, Lord. We were sinners. We were away from the commonwealth of Israel. We were not able to take your name on our path. So thank you, Lord, for having considered our condition. Pity on us, came into this world, took a low human servant, and then bore our punishment. We were free. Not only we are free, our sins are forgiven. We were made to live with you. We were seated in heaven. And not only that, we have an eternity to spend in your presence, O Lord. That is what you have made us. We praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, after the meeting, thank you for having given us the time to hear about the Tiruvalla Medical Mission. We pray for that ministry. Lord, the missionaries, they were visionaries. With a vision, they had established it. And you know that it will, that you will support it. And we proudly say that it has your signature on it, Then that is the reason why for the past 88 years, although there were difficulties, trials, turbulences, but you have kept it to be a testimony of your faith. We thank you for that. We pray for your continued success. For you have saved us, and you want us to share this wonderful salvation to other people also around us. We are not evangelists, we are not preachers, but with our life, we can share the gospel with the people every day. We interact, we communicate with the Lord. So help us to do that in the coming days. Lord, there is not much time left before us before we can do that. So help us to realize this and do everything for your glory. The circumstances, the resources that are made available to us, help us to make use of it and turn everything for your glory. Help us to be evangelists. May we bring more souls to you in the days to come. We pray for this assembly. In the days to come, you bless this assembly. Thank you for the eldership. Thank you for the great vision they have given to the elders to move on with this assembly. We pray that many more people, your people, are added to this assembly in the days to come. As we depart, we once again commit all of us in your mighty hand. Lord, keep us safe until we see us again. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.